Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Boner.
I don't know shit about fuck.
Fucker.
I like sucking,
but I ain't gay.
Legit fat podcast.
Fuck those honkies.
Kick ass.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
He really knows how to suck a wiener.
Boom! We're here. We have landed. Welcome to Legit Bat.
Have you seen my wiener?
I'm Joe. Jen's here. Hello? Ben's here. And Lene's here. We're all here. Wait for the last clap to die down. Okay, there we go. So we have... Do we have any ado? Do we have any announcements? Anything?
I don't think so.
Oh. Well, me and Ben before the show were just talking about how we're going to do his... show about the academy that he went to and what kind of fuckery he got up to there and how it totally traumatized him for the rest of his life. It's a great story. And that'll be tentatively on the 9th. So, and that'll be Rockfin Live too. So,
did we plug the audio drama yet?
No. Thank you.
We did an audio drama, guys.
So I believe we mentioned
cool, kind of weird.
Yeah, we mentioned a couple shows ago, but these guys new in the game called True Theater Radio do an audio drama, but it's kind of like truth centered, and I don't even know how else you describe it, but we did their second episode ever, which is I think their first official episode, and so that's, you can get that on any podcast feed. It's audio only. They don't have video yet. That would be cool if somebody could do like a JRE Tunes version of all their audio dramas, but,
and it's spelled kind of weird, so it's either you can do True TRU and then the word theater, or you can do Truth Eater, all one word, Truth Eater Radio. Check
so
it out.
Check that out. They do, so it's audio drama, but they also do, we did like almost 2 hours of just a normal episode talking.
Yeah, they
them,
play
so.
Part of the, they play part of the audio drama first, then we do an interview, and then they finish the audio drama at the end.
So yeah, check those guys out. They have a great idea, and we can't wait to see where that goes. It's gonna be interesting. Ben, you got anything besides fingernails to eat? No? Okay.
Haven't eaten any yet. It'll come.
Ooh. Oh, he's gonna be
surprisingly,
itching.
Surprisingly, he still is able to scratch. Even though there's nothing there, like, I don't know how it...
It's
like,
all in the
he'll
angle.
Scratch
yeah,
me.
I was going to say, it's called...
I'm like, ow!
Going down the walls.
Yeah. Ugh. Nails on a
Everyone
chalkboard.
Figures out a way. All right.
Life finds a way. All right. Our guest tonight is Lavish and Booberry from Behind the Schemes. And thank you, Dao Denim, in the chat for reminding me that there's threes instead of the E's in Behind the Schemes. So if you're looking them up on audio, make sure you get that part right. I fucked up. That's my bad. But welcome, Booberry and Lavish. What's going on, guys?
Hello. Just hanging out. How you doing?
Me too. That's crazy.
Yeah. Great,
just a couple of people hanging out on the internet, you know?
Just a couple of dudes being bros, man.
Yeah, doing great things.
doing things. The cool thing is I heard about Booberry from our mutual show that we both love that I talk about all the time, Our Big Dumb Mouth. And he was in the live chats over there, and he's in the Discord, and he's called in. I've called in. We're all just big boner friends over there at OBDM. So I knew he'd be a cool person to have on. Lavish, great to meet you. I've actually never talked to Lavish, just Booberry, but great to meet you both. It'll be a fun time. So tell us a little bit about your show and your favorite things to talk about over there, or what you've been talking about lately.
Well,
don't all start at once.
I think it's a very, very serious production. We take great care in sourcing resources and materials for our show notes, which are all compiled in a beautiful smorgasbord of information for your perusal. And I don't know, Lavish, what do you think it is? A history podcast more than anything?
We try to make it an informative program, you know, yes. Educational, as Blueberry says. We've got the sources, we've got all that, but we like to discuss topics that don't get as much attention as they should, topics that we feel should be more exposed to a mainstream ideal. And a lot of the time that can fall under a sort of category that people call conspiracy, but we don't really focus on stuff that's like outlandish. We like to focus on stuff that has a lot of material to back it up, and we like to source that material. And we have art, we have music. It's kind of a radio show, little Art Bell, little Bill Cooper, you know.
So what you're saying is you like things with a lot of meat.
Yes, there's a lot of meaty bones. Yes,
I like meaty things too. Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah. there's a sound drop. Thank you.
It's actually boner. It's nice to step out of the green room. That's where we hang out every Monday night at 9 o'clock, 9:30 central is when the stream gets going.
We've got our little IRC channel that we enjoy very, very much.
Yes, and we're having this issue with goats. They're really piling up. There was a smell. So it's nice to kind of get out and get a little bit of fresh air going, you know?
Oh, actual goats?
Yeah, we have a thing where you can boost a certain amount of Satoshis and we'll slaughter a goat on the air. And sometimes people just do it again and again. Sometimes we'll do 12, 13 goats a show.
Right in a row. Just line them up, knock them down, let it flow, you know?
What's your favorite method for slaughtering the goats? Do you go for the jugular or do you...
clean kill. Shotgun? Okay. Clean kill. Yeah.
Well, that's good. You want to be
spoil
nice.
The meat, you know.
I would say taints a throat, probably.
Oh yeah. There you go.
That's just me. I don't, you know, like
13 in a row. Is there a lovely ceremony shortly thereafter?
Oh yeah. Well, I wouldn't call it lovely, but yeah, it's a ceremony.
I'd say the whole experience is kind of like a ceremony.
I got a boner right now. Let's do one.
We're one step away from robes.
Soon. Hashtag soon.
Hashtag soon.
Well, you guys know what their show is about now. So yeah, go check them out. So what have you guys been talking about lately? Have you covered any like current events, or do you kind of stay away from that stuff?
We do current events every now and again, but there hasn't really been anything too exciting going on. The last current event that we covered was the Georgia Guidestones. And I kind of did a full report on like the history of the Guidestones and all that. But now last week we all did history. Blueberry recently did a great bit on the Radium Girls and on the history of chemical warfare, which was really interesting. And that kind of is the way we lean.
I was going to say, speaking of that, go ahead.
The radium girls, when they first discovered radium and really utilized radium in a commercial way, this was in the early 20th century.
Hundreds of products, by the way. Hundreds.
Yeah. Radium glows. So you had ladies who would make watches and they would paint the hands of the watches with radium, and they would take their paintbrushes and they would dap it in their mouth and they'd get it all over them and the teeth. And then they would like face paint and kind of do fun stuff with it. You know, bring in their Sunday best dresses and they would glow at church. And it was it's kind of a morbid thing, but it was very real.
And the sort of modern day connection that I had found with it is that all throughout the 50s, 60s, 70s, there was 33 different parts of the United States where they were testing zinc, cadmium sulfide on unsuspecting populations. So you hear the St. Louis, they were spraying all the urban areas down with this dust, and they did it in Minneapolis, San Francisco. I mean, even in Alberta, Canada, they got in there and was spraying Canadian citizens with this dust to try and track the radioactive material that was a stand-in for, you know, seeing how a Russian attack, how all of it would disperse. And it turns out that this product that they were using, they had purchased from one of the corporations leading the Radium Girls, or just, you know, putting undarken all the watches and whatnot.
That is wild. How have we never heard about this?
Well,
they don't know one talks about it.
You may have heard the mainstream news. Actually, it was.
I don't think the government likes it to get out that they're spraying unsuspecting populations with radiation just to see where it goes. Because our government loves us, you guys. Don't you know that? They love us. They have our best interests in mind.
Yeah,
totally. Thank God for that.
Too many incidents like these are too well known, then people will be like, they have a bad track record. Maybe we shouldn't trust them so much.
Something doesn't sit right.
Instead, what they do is they let us all talk like conspiracy theorists for 70, 80 years about UFOs, and then they disclose it. And then when they do, they go, oh, yeah, you guys already knew that shit. Don't go psycho about it. You guys already knew. It's not a big deal.
Now, yeah, that's the general thing. That's what happens every time. Oh, we're totally doing that. Yeah, we never denied it. No,
that was happening, sure.
I think we should make a distinction that we do not self-identify as conspiracy theorists. We are more so aligned with conspiracy hypothesizers. I think it's a more natural state for that term to exist in.
Mm-hmm. It is technically the precursor to a theory, so that actually does minimize a little bit the conspiracy. So that's I kind of like that.
Yeah. We're just entertaining the thought, you know.
Yeah.
Even if we don't believe it ourselves, we like to look at stuff.
How would you say that? Conspiracy hypotheorist?
Conspiracy hypothesizer.
Hypotheorist. Can we make it more syllables?
conspiracy curiositor. How about that one?
Oh, I like that. Yes.
How about investigator? That sounds a little more official. Conspiracy investigators.
I do have a question for you guys, since you guys are in the conspiracy realm and we are talking about current events. What do you guys think about this pipeline getting blown up right as the same day that they announced the Baltic pipeline coming in?
I don't know if I have a dead set opinion one way or the other. I've only caught recently two other shows discussing it, and I suppose I haven't looked at it enough to internalize it to form any real opinion.
A lot of what I've heard is that I don't know how long ago it was, but Biden and Victoria Nuland were both saying we're going to stop the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, and Biden basically said, I promise. And they're like, how are you going to do that? And he's like, I promise we'll get it done. And then this happens and they go, it was totally Russia, which doesn't make any sense to me, because why would Russia sabotage their own shit that makes them money?
Because the media says they did.
No, actually it does, Joe, because I've been thinking about this a lot. It could go both ways. Here's the thing. They lost their bargaining chip on siphoning off the gas that they were feeding to Germany if it gets blown up. Well, why would they blow it up? Because now there's nothing to bargain with, except if they blow up their own pipeline and blame it on the U.S. the same day that they announced the Baltic pipeline going in, now they have a perfect reason to bomb that brand new pipeline so that they also make the other person lose their chips. Now they don't have to feed energy. They have a reason. They have a reason for who sabotaged it, and then can also get their revenge in an understanding way that people will go, well, it's shitty, but, you know, somebody did sabotage their pipeline. It could go both ways. I personally think it's us, 100%. The Victoria lady that you were talking about literally said verbatim, at any cost.
Yeah. So, and well, the other thing too was that there's a U.S. ship or some kind of either a submersible ship or some other kind of ship that was sitting like 30 kilometers away from the zone where the pipeline got hit. And like, what was it? And they said, oh, it was just out there, you know, checking stuff out. Just
that supposedly they were doing fuck games with our Germany base.
Is that a technical term?
That is a military term. Whenever they go out and they play little war games and skirmishes, they just call it fuck games.
Okay.
Fuck games. Yeah, nice. Well, that checks out.
Perfect. Oh, I fucked up my soundboard. Sorry. Okay, we're back in action. Anyway, yeah, so I don't really know. Of course, because the mainstream immediately says it's Russia, it makes me think it's probably not Russia.
Right.
Anybody else. It's Zimbabwe. It's not Russia. But I don't know. It like Ben was saying, it could have been like a double thing where Putin's like, hey, we have them on video saying they're going to destroy our shit. What if we just go do it and make them look like they did it? You know, who knows? I don't know what their plans are. I'm not inside Putin's head. So even though that
we
would
also
probably
don't know that it actually happened.
Yeah,
I really want to go down this.
It could be fake.
Yeah,
honestly.
Maybe they said they sabotaged it as a reason to pump up gas prices even more. Yeah.
With oil stocks tanking, they need an excuse to keep that price up because everyone's going,
fuck
why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They said the euro just dropped down to almost the same level as a dollar, right? For the first time in history. Right now, $1.07 is equal to 1 euro, which is
euro or pound?
Astronomically lower.
Yeah. Yeah. It's usually about $1.20.
Yeah. And at one point, it was worth almost two. A couple years after they introduced it.
That's awful. That must have destroyed tourism.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. Gold, too, right now is just tanking. I mean, it is incredible to watch. It's
now's time to buy it.
Yeah. I agree.
Isn't crypto tanking, too? I mean, Bitcoin tanked a while ago, but hasn't just gone kind of steadily down since that initial tanking?
It's funny. Bitcoin kind of canaried that coal mine. It definitely tanked probably 3 months before everything really started to, but it's been hovering at the same place since. It's been at a 20K resistance level for probably 3 or 4 months now.
AKA Bitcoin is on sale.
Yeah, yeah. Although I think it'll tank more personally, but
Did you guys get into that? Do you guys get into Bitcoin or crypto at all? Because I know very little about it, and I've had a lot of people on that are both ways on it. And where do you guys stand on that? A lot of people are pro Bitcoin only and say fuck all the other coins. And some people say all crypto could be controlled or hacked or I don't know. I don't know enough about it. What do you guys think?
Personally, my strategy is Bitcoin and 2 shitcoins. I will only allow myself 2 shitcoins. Bitcoin is the great one. Bitcoin is king. And you might as well just dump it in there. But that's boring. And you want to sometimes, you know, you want to get your doges, you want to strike lucky on something. So if you put 10 bucks into something that's worth almost nothing, and then it goes and does what Doge did.
That's what I did with Doge. That's the only thing.
That's what
did
I did.
It.
I bought Dogecoin.
$20 in
I,
or something.
No, I put like $50 in and then I bought a little bit more. And it was the same day without reading Reddit. I did no research. I just downloaded. Nice. I downloaded Robinhood and they're like, we have a new coin available. It's called Dogecoin. And I'm like, that sounds neat. I didn't look it up at all. And I spent like $50 on it. And it was the same day that the Redditors were like trying to pump it up like they did with GameStop. And I just woke up in the morning and was like, oh shit, I have like $700 in here. What the fuck? Because I had like 4,000 Dogecoins.
Yeah, and then,
but I made like $3,000 on it eventually because it kept going up until Elon Musk was on Saturday Night Live. But I sold it all before then.
And that's the right time to sell. When Elon Musk was promoting on SNL, you go, okay, I'm out.
Time to go. Bye-bye. Yep.
Well, what do you guys think of that motherfucker? Again, people are on varying sides of the aisle with him. I just think he's way too much in the spotlight to be any good. You know what I mean? He's not censored off Twitter, so there you go.
I'm not, I'm no Elon apologist. And there's nothing really about him that excites me in any particular way. I do think that he was definitely sent in just to tank Twitter, kneecap it. That would make sense. Just, you know, totally decimate it. Show that a lot of the users are just bots, that it's a septic, toxic wasteland that won't ever do anything good for anybody. And it's just time to let it go.
It's just full of shit and piss over there on Twitter.
Yeah, it's time to switch to TikTok, everybody. That's where it's at. Just kidding. Just kidding. Yeah. I've never done TikTok. I'm just kidding.
If you're into seeing underage girls twerk and do weird dances, knock yourself out.
That was the original reputation of TikTok. Now it's a big deal, but it's like when it first came out, that's really what it was. It was just like watching high schoolers dance.
Was
like, what is
it was because it was called Musical.ly at first. My daughter had it when she was 9 or 10. And it was, you would just lip sync and do little routines to music and record it and people would comment on it. That was it. And then it changed to TikTok, I don't know, a couple of years later.
I think it filled the void that Vine left.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I forgot about Vine. Nobody talked about Vine anymore.
Yeah, that was a big deal for a bit, you know?
No doubt.
But that went like the way of MySpace.
It was MySpace, yep.
Press F in the chats for MySpace.
Tom's just fine.
Yeah, hope you're doing doing okay out there, buddy.
I miss MySpace. That was way more fun, and it was back when you could basically say literally anything you want on the internet, and they couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah, well, I would definitely 100% recommend y'all check out a Mastodon instance, whether you set one up for yourselves or you hop aboard. Tinfoil Hat has one that I just joined called Nuked.social, which is a lot of fun. There is the podcast index.social, which is connected to the podcasting 2.0 implementation and the podcast index and all that. No Agenda Social still has slots open.
Kind of fine, but they're there.
Yeah. It's
what exactly is it though?
It's a self-hosted Twitter.
Yeah. Oh. An open source Twitter.
Yeah.
Go check that out, everybody.
Actually, I'll drop a link to the post I made about going live with this episode. I'll drop that in your chat for you. My thoughts on Bitcoin is I don't really see anybody getting in full control of the ledger and just the blockchain as a whole, because it's too distributed at this point. If someone was there to collect 50% of the mining operations from the onset, maybe that could be the case. I think there was a point in time where it kind of came close to falling under that majority rule. But at this point, I mean, I've got the blockchain sitting on a drafting table in the other room, full 300 gigabytes of it, the entirety, the history of from the first transaction to, you know, all the transactions that are going on right now. And the show, our show, and a lot of other shows, I think the count is just under 10,000 right now. They are set up to receive Bitcoin from producers in real time as they listen to a show. So what this looks like under these legacy apps is you have Spotify and you have your PayPal, and your PayPal allows you to create a wallet inside of Spotify, and then you can send money to the shows that you're listening to inside of Spotify. That doesn't actually exist. What it is here is people are setting up Lightning wallets, which are Bitcoin wallets essentially, and they are streaming sats, micropayments of Bitcoin, in real time. As they listen, you can send bigger lump sum payments of Satoshis that are known as boostergrams. We actually had two come in, or three, during the pre-stream I was doing. We had and it was all from Dave Jones, who's one of the guys that's heading up the project as a whole, Podcasting 2.0, or podcastindex.org. He sent in 1,000 sat boosts. He sent in another one for 21,112 sats straight from the locker. This tune is rad. Talking about 2112, Rush, what a great song. One of my absolute favorites from the Twilight Zone. I was playing a little bit of that. And to actually answer his question, there is a live stream video over at Rockfin. And check it out.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And
maybe you could explain to me more about why it's not hackable. Bitcoin is because it's spread out across a ledger over thousands of computers or whatever. So you'd literally have to go hack each and every one of those in order for it to actually change something. Is that correct?
Basically, yeah.
So think it's the reason banks can so royally fuck you over is because they are in ownership of that ledger. They have the numbers on their side. Just like the COVID pandemic, they have the numbers on their side. Who's they? Doesn't matter. But with the public availability of the blockchain, everybody can see it. Everybody, all of these nodes are working in tandem to confirm these payments as they move back and forth.
And, yeah, anybody who joins the blockchain, anybody who participates in this, they have their own copy of the blockchain. And there's millions and millions and millions of copies all over the world. And the computational power to hack all of those, and every time a transaction is made, the chain just gets more complex. The computational power just simply doesn't exist on Earth to be able to manage that.
So, and the other thing I was wondering is what inherent value is there to Bitcoin? I know it's based off of mining. another thing I'm not real clear on. It's computers doing computations and then they get paid Bitcoin for it. Like, what does that explain?
Yeah, there's a fee. Mining is it's misleading title, but mining essentially means that you are facilitating the transaction. So when you send someone Bitcoin, there are computers that essentially try to solve a math problem. And if they solve this math problem, then that verifies the transaction. And that takes computational power. And for dedicating that computational power to the transaction, they get a fee of that transaction. If you send money, they get a little piece of it. But also, theoretically, up until a point, a bit of new Bitcoin will be made, a very, very tiny amount every time a transaction is made. And eventually the limit will be reached where no more Bitcoin can be made.
When these computations are figured out, that's what I guess locks in the actual transaction, and it writes it into the blockchain.
Mm-hmm. The inherent value of Bitcoin in a way is that money right now is already electronic. 99% of the money that we transact with is already electronic. It's zeros and ones in a computer, just facilitated by a bank or whatever. And the idea is that money in the in a computer is only a set of information, a name, a time, an amount. It's the transaction. It's like the receipt itself is the money. Just the existence of the transaction creates the money.
And the trust that's in the transaction, I think. Because, you know, again, the banks are able to control the ledgers and they can fudge the numbers. They can sell subprime mortgages to people en masse.
And, yeah, it's all based off of fractional reserve credit instead of, you know, a substantial line of code that exists with Bitcoin.
I heard a super cool podcast. Y'all listen to Fireside Chats, Greg Carwood?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He just had on Texas Slim of the Texas Beef Initiative. And I definitely think that it would be worth it for y'all to check out. In this case, he is actually discussing using Bitcoin as a store of value for ranchers across the nation, trying to bring them back to a place where this physical property has, like, if I had a hoard of gold, you know, that would have value to it rather than paper money that you can just, you know, money printer go and then you just lost all your money. You just, you know, I forget what, I don't know if it was Lavish telling me, somebody was, you know, over the, you've lost like 40% of all of the time you worked over the past 4 years or something crazy. I don't know how accurate that number is, but
sounds about right. So not to harp on it too much, I'm just retarded when it comes to this, but what you said, the computations that write Bitcoin or they get paid in Bitcoin, whatever, they're solving math problems. Whose problems are they and why are they solving them? Like what are they working on?
It's civil arithmetic that's developed by just randomly, right, Boober? Wouldn't you say that?
It's based off of the Byzantine generals problem. So you're trying to have these assorted number, I guess for this example we use 8. You're trying to have 8 generals all attack a fortress at the same time. That's the only way that they can penetrate the defenses.
Is if everybody attack, if all 8 have to attack at the same time, if just one backs out, then the whole thing fails.
And it's, you're trying to figure out, I've got an article about it somewhere, I can dig it out for you. But essentially you're trying to figure out how you can pass all the information, not have generals turn away, not have generals do Benedict Arnold's. You know, you have to confirm that everybody's going to move into unison. And that's that movement in unison, I think, is really what kind of, you know, solves this randomly generated equation that the miner is trying to solve. I mean, this is way above my pay grade.
Yeah, I mean, there's no limit to how complicated it gets, but
my thought,
yeah, I think that's why everybody has so many questions about it, because I had all these questions. I'm like, so it's solving problems for who? Like, who comes up with the problem and how do they, it's why the are they solving it,
you know? Transactions, yeah. That it's the transactions that are generating, I think.
Transactions for what? Like just general transactions going on the internet, or what?
Yeah, every individual one. If I sent you Bitcoin, then our own unique little math problem would be created, and it would take somebody around the world. It could be a guy in China. If he's got a computer that's built to mine, then his computer will figure out the math problem. And then once that's done, then that verifies that the transaction is true. And then it enters into the chain. The transaction is called a block, and it's added to the chain all the way.
Fucking weird. Who came up with that? Oh yeah, nobody knows, huh?
A mysterious guy that no one knows. Satoshi Nakamoto. Many claim to be him, but nobody's given very good proof.
Definitely not Elon Musk. Don't believe.
Or Craig Wright or any of these jackasses on 4chan. Don't bull into that.
I think Q personally came up with Bitcoin. I'm just
kidding. Nah, man. My money.
I talked to him. He said no.
My money's all in on Sam Hyde. Sam Hyde made Bitcoin.
Yeah, but the way that we use it, like we said with these wallets, is we found a way for people to, because a regular Bitcoin transaction takes forever to do, hours if not days. We found a way to do it instantaneously, do it through the app. So if you have a podcasting 2.0 app and you already have the Bitcoin in there, if you like a show, you can go, okay, I'll give you money. However much it is, it could be 20 cents. And we found a way to do it where if you send us money, it'll come up in the chat room. It'll play sound bites. Like when we're talking about slaughtering the goats, if you send us a certain amount of Bitcoin, then we play a sound bite where we slaughter a goat.
Whoa.
What is that you, Blueberry?
No.
What the fuck is that?
I don't think it's me.
Are we getting hacked into by the FBI? We're talking about Bitcoin.
Many go such away. Cases it happens. But
you ever heard that sound before? That was fucking weird.
No. Sound like a dial tone, or not dial tone, but like a punch keys on a phone.
Dial tone.
That was not my soundboard either.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway. But yeah.
It's we have friends on this. They do a Tuesday night show. It's Sir Spencer and Dame DeLorean of the Bowl After Bowl podcast. It's a weed advocacy podcast, but they do a lot of like fun 33 in the headlines and a lot of weed news and voicemails and things of that nature. But they also do a segment week to week talking about their onboarding process onto the Lightning Network, which is the use of Bitcoin in real time. It's all built on top of the Lightning Network. Our Bitcoin nodes are Lightning nodes. And without getting too technical, it's you're opening up transactions to other people, and then the Bitcoin is able to ride along those channels that open up between me to Lavish and Lavish to Sir Spencer. And if you want sort of like a short primer, that's the spot that I would recommend you head to check out. It's there.
Fires. That's all a little advanced.
Cocaine shit stain. on chain, off chain, cocaine shit stain. That's the segment. So that
sounds like a cocaine title.
A lot of drug references in high tech. You know, it's part
to
make of it.
To wonder my why. My yeah, actual right. point though, it's they spent a lot of time getting into the weeds, and they came up with this analogy of the only way you're going to learn how to drive a car is by getting into the car and cranking the engine and start driving. You just have to, you're not going to be able to look at the manual to figure out how it works, right? And that's what really helped us along. I've never owned Bitcoin prior to 2021. Never. I never owned any Dogecoin, never did any of that. And I don't even own any other shit coins as it stands. It's just the Bitcoin that comes in through the streams and whatnot. But the people behind the podcast index have taken a lot of painstaking effort in making it a relatively easy process to onboard. That's what I've come to understand, is that it's so easy just to kind of get lost in the details of how the Bitcoin works and all the different moving pieces required.
Oh, I'm way too dumb to understand it.
But it's one of those things that using it starts to teach you the implications of what you're actually working with. This is a decentralized currency that no one entity has direct control of. There's definitely influences. I mean, I think Elon Musk even like knocked it a couple of times. It's prized, but
sorry.
Some crack a beer?
No, it was a sparkling water.
All right, okay.
You know, party hard over here. Sorry. and then think well, about
it. Bitcoin's going though. What do you think with the new Fed dollar thing they're planning on right now? I've been hearing a lot more about it lately. It's not just in conspiracy circles either. It's actually in some mainstream shit talking about the what's called a CBDC or something like that. What do you guys think that's going? Because that can't be good. It's come no, it's not doing that.
You have a currency that you can turn on and off like a switch.
Right.
Yeah. What they could do in that instance is they could make Bitcoin illegal to transact with, like in general. They wouldn't be able to control it at the electronic level, but they could obviously go to companies and like Coinbase or something and say, you know, you can't operate. Sorry.
Right. It's the whole idea of getting into the market, which would probably be pretty profitable because if it's not privatized, they can make it really accessible. So then people get in on it. They find a lot of success with it. And that's all fine and good as long as you do what they say. And then as soon as you don't, it's like, well, sorry about that. You guys went against our community standards. So
yeah,
you're in a NFT jail.
You protested a little too hard there, eh, buddy?
Yeah.
Yeah. NFT jail. That's funny because the NFT market is basically just gone now. You remember seeing that? How big that was a year or two ago? The NFTs, the stoned ape or whatever the fuck that ape was. Yeah. I never understood that one either. And I'm so glad I never got into it or even learned about it. Because I'm like, they're little JPEGs. Why the fuck are people selling these for like thousands of dollars? Never understood it. And now it's gone. So,
I've never even heard of it. I'm so old.
My phone? I don't know if you could see this or not.
I don't know any of this.
Trust me, you're not missing out on anything with NFTs.
I still read books for fuck's sake. Like, I love the smell of books. I don't belong in this conversation. Too.
We've got Man, Myth, and Magic. It smells like just rich mahogany. It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
The way
and leather.
And wisdom.
Yes. Esoteric wisdom.
Very, very much.
Rich mahogany and fine leather.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I have many leather-bound books. Yeah, it's a very weird sphere. And as far as the Federal Reserve making its own cryptocurrency is concerned, a lot of old guys are gonna have to die first. I mean, all the dudes that are running the show that were, you know, 70, 80 years old, they don't give a shit. They don't understand Bitcoin. So
yeah,
it'll take for people, you know, closer to our generation to be in a leading capacity at these major banks for anything to be substantial, I think.
But I mean,
it'll be all the nerds that know what they're doing, and people like me are just going to be like, yeah, nerd, go ahead, do your thing. I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, currency is extremely complicated. I mean, we all use the American dollar, but the American dollar and Federal Reserve is so much more infinitely complex than Bitcoin, in my opinion. But we use it anyway, you know.
Yeah,
we all trust in it, and it just works.
And we all keep, you know, we save the online banking apps onto the phone. I mean, that is digital currency.
Yeah, it really boils down to convenience.
I was talking about that years ago about how the mobile banking we do now is basically that. I mean, it's not
it really
different. It's a little easier. Anyway, sorry, Booberry, I cut you off.
The one thing to consider about streaming sats and the value for value nature of sending Bitcoin to a show is that it's a lot harder to deplatform somebody off of that because you are self-hosting if you so choose. I have the Bitcoin Raspi Blitz. It's a Lightning node built out of a Raspberry Pi. Never bought a Raspberry Pi before. Never fucked with Linux before. But you find the right people and you start asking the right questions and you can find the guidance. It's really just a matter of saying, well, I don't understand, but at some point I'm going to have to understand. I have to start doing something. And that's been our entire approach.
There are plenty of people out there who know about it, who would love to just take the time to explain to you what they've learned and what they know and what they've developed themselves.
And this is a system that's going to prevent situations like Patreon pulling people off of their platform.
Yeah, PayPal,
Stripe, you know, Stripe banned a fucking country from using currency. Like, these motherfuckers are not fucking around.
That's why when you said a currency that has an on-off switch like a Fed coin, isn't that kind of what they could do now? I mean, you know, short of an EMP or something like that, but don't you think there could be an off switch to the currency we use now? I mean, it looks like they're heading that way right now anyway.
You mean like for the dollar?
Yeah. They're just the zeros and ones in my phone, my bank account. It's all digital. I haven't seen cash in like 3 weeks. Yeah.
Look what happened to cash during 2020. No change. Exact change only. Oh, your currency's dirty. And you know, I think
not the shortage anymore.
I don't think they were able to cancel cash, but they definitely like gave it a stigma for sure.
Stop taking cash. I think Subway doesn't take cash anymore, at least the one in our town.
I think I remember hearing that about a couple places.
A couple places just stopped it altogether.
Yeah. Places won't take checks. Like,
how is that even legal? Like, for a company to say, no, we don't take cash? Pretty sure you have to. Like,
no, company policy. It's the same thing with having your rights to shop somewhere else. They're not saying that you have to shop there and can't use checks. They're saying you can shop wherever you want, and their rights are covered that by their policy, they won't accept it. So it's kind of like the same thing I was saying during the pandemic, where stores would say you have to wear a mask, like Costco, you have to wear a mask in our store. And everybody was like, you're infringing on our rights. Like, well, as much as I wish that was true, it's not, because what would be infringing on your rights is to say that you have to shop at Costco and you have to wear a mask, whereas you can go freely to another store that doesn't make you wear a mask. And that's your right, just as much as it is their privatized right. So like with the not accepting checks or cash, they can 100% legally do that. And to tell you the truth, I would hate to see that right go away, because then that means if they can take that away from the companies, they can do that with everybody. So it's like, they're not telling you that you have to shop somewhere where they don't accept checks, so therefore it's not illegal for company policy to reject it.
Well, I mean, they already tried to do that. Remember that story from several years ago now about how that bakery didn't want to make a gay cake for the gays? And they I don't know if they got in a lawsuit or what happened with that, but they're basically saying, screw your policy, you got to make a gay cake. And I think they ended up
a gay cake for the
lawsuit.
No. Which they did.
The public sentiment behind them on that one. I think the public came out and said, burp.
Yeah, I don't remember what happened with that.
They politicized the hell out of that, which is ridiculous, because whether or not whether you want to call it a preference or a prejudice or whatever, it doesn't matter, because they don't have to get their cake there. So they can, it goes along the same exact lines. So if they want somebody to make a big fat boner cake, or whatever they want, that they can go somewhere else to get it. But the whole idea of we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone is also the company's right. So it's like, they're not saying you have to get your cake there and you have to accept they won't make that cake.
I wonder if somebody's ever tried to pull that shit on cops, you know, like a mom and pop shop, and a cop comes in and they're like, no, we reserve the right to refuse service to you. Can you imagine?
So that's totally different, though. I get what you guys are saying with you reserve the right to not serve someone or not, you know, make a cake for a gay couple for their wedding. But when companies start refusing, when they start refusing cash, that has huge implications on our society. That's going to make a world of difference. If other companies start following suit, that's just putting them right in line for this. Oh, we accept Bitcoin now. We only accept digital currency. It's just lining right up.
It's the old frog in the boiling water.
Yeah.
Yeah, when it comes to currency, I'm pretty sure businesses could accept seashells if they really wanted to, as long as they pay their bills. But
yeah,
they still have to do trading back. I want to trade. I want to give eggs.
Yeah,
something, trade vegetables.
That would be actually a cool system.
She just brought up a good point. They're still making pennies. I don't think it's going to go away. I mean, for however,
it costs closer to 2 cents per penny that they produce.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
They're still doing that, and they've tried getting rid, and they're like, nope, we're keeping it.
The penny is the closest thing that's actually produced to what it's worth. It's the only thing that we make that's actually close. It's the closest to what it's actually worth and what it's made of than anything else in our currency.
Mm. Yeah, it doesn't take $100 to make a $100 bill. That's for sure.
No, but it does take way more than $100 for those printing presses. By the time they are printing out all those flats of money, it's actually a whole lot more expensive than the flats of money that they're printing.
Well, that brings up an interesting point of overall economy and
right.
What would cost more, making the pennies at double the cost of what they're worth, or getting rid of pennies and operating in an economy where you use nickels and dimes? Like, honestly, Europe is kind of doing that with the euro.
Right.
I vote we get rid of pennies. I don't even know what we're still doing with them.
And this whole pressure
robbed is what we're getting.
This whole pressure on a lack of, you know, tangible goods as being your currency, that's exactly the whole point. And it does go back to what Jen was talking about. It's that slow chokehold, because if they can start making good reasons to do away with an actual, you know, get to a cashless economy, well, yeah, it's a lot more lucrative. But the problem is, as soon as they do that, what's to stop anybody from hiking up the inflation, all of their prices? And now you're fucked because you don't have any tangible goods. It's just all ones and zeros in your bank account.
And you don't have a currency that's just taxed to shit either.
Yeah, nobody's stopping anybody from inflation. I mean, look what's going on right now.
Come on, man.
I'm not blaming on Biden, even though fuck him. But
I mean, nothing's Biden's fault. I mean, he fell upstairs and he fell off a bike. We just
No.
Come on, he's not making any decisions, people.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
He can't even poop in a toilet.
Yeah, no, well, we go back a long way, but she was 12 and I was 30. Anyway,
is this my turn?
Oh man, we love ripping Hunter Biden on our show. No, we have Hunter Biden clips and video and photos. So much. Oh, God, it's so beautiful. What a psycho that guy is.
Wait a minute. What? We got two different conversations going on here.
She was 12 and I was 30. Anyway.
Oh, God.
Okay, we just had two. I said we had two different conversations going on there for a second, so
I thought he muted the mic. He usually does.
Oh,
I was explaining the Joe Biden comment. She didn't see it, and I forgot to mute it. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, I couldn't figure out either way. Sorry, Lavish. Go ahead. Please continue.
There's just, you guys have seen all like the Hunter Biden pictures and videos, the laptop stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I have not seen the actual pictures. I'm not going to look that up. I don't want that on my phone, but I've heard about it.
Well, there's at least one or two episodes of our show where you could go to the show notes. So you could find all you need to find.
I know nothing. That's what I was basically saying. So what?
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of people don't know.
He likes
to go into that.
No.
You're doing coke out of hookers' buttholes and, you know.
Oh, we all do around. That.
I mean, it's fine, but.
He did that with Dad on his 21st birthday. It's fine.
Not judging the man, but they ripped apart the last guy and his family and said that they were doing all that stuff and had no evidence. And then as soon as this guy shows up and is essentially everything bad about the last guy that everybody was claiming, and there's substantial evidence for that, and it all gets buried.
Well, and they straight up said, I mean, there's been all kinds of stuff that has come out since where they have admitted to not verifying the story because they were afraid that it would push the election in a direction. But then, of course, they show how, as long as it's on that side, that's what they're willing to do. And then what they do is the same thing they do with UFOs and anything else. Oh, yeah, it was right. We didn't know. And then not only finding out that not only is it not a hoax, but then on top of that, they're going back on the whole, you know, back up the cops now, didn't back up the cops in 2020. But back up the cops now. How dare you? You're unpatriotic, blah, 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 blah. They're just doing their jobs and doing a thorough investigation before they put someone under the gun.
Yeah, like the Mar-a-Lago raid. Thorough investigation. We can always trust the FBI to do their best. They're not always right, but they try and they do their best.
What about the crazy videos of Biden, though, that came out right around the election of him sniffing little girls? Like so many,
right?
And nobody cared. They were like, we hate Trump so much, we're just gonna vote for this pedophile. We don't even care.
That's a big thing.
So sad and pathetic.
A lot of people say that nobody actually voted for Biden, they just didn't vote for Trump.
Yeah, so if the election was real, which I don't believe the numbers are real, I don't believe more people voted for Biden, but if that's true, that means there's that many retarded fucking people in this country that don't give a shit about some old dude sniffing little kid's hair and care more about, well, this guy said grab her by the pussy and I don't like that. I have a daughter. Like, no, look at this guy. Look what he does to your daughter.
It's literally
come
grabbing
on.
Little girls on TV. It's like,
yeah, Trump just said it. This guy was doing it.
At least
he's
not an asshole, though.
I like China.
Words
Kenny is an
so
asshole,
much
too.
Now.
That's the worst part. Joe Biden's a piece of shit, dude.
Absolutely.
All politicians suck. We all know that.
Well, And the thing I don't trust is I don't trust the fact that he got, you know, 26,000 more votes than the population of voters in like three different states. So
it's not election denial, dude, and get us booted.
We just got
it's unpatriotic. Hashtag not my president 2016. Fuck off.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's only okay to say it then. But now I was just talking to one of our friends about the election, and I ended up saying, hey, I don't listen to a lot of political conspiracy podcasts because I really don't. It's not that interesting to me, but I keep up with things here and there. And I said, you know, at the end of the day, I just don't even think any election is real. I think they just put in who they're going to put in, and then it just goes down the line. And he looked at me and said, that's from all the conspiracy podcasts you listen to. Moments after I had just said I didn't do that. And he said, get out of here with your stolen election shit. And I'm like, whoa, man, I didn't even vote for Trump at all or Biden. I voted third party. I probably won't ever vote again just because of what I've seen. There's just no point.
Just tired.
I'm over it. I always vote third party, though, just for fun. I wasn't saying the election was stolen. I just said it was a lie, and also said like every other election.
I was going to say,
get out of here with that election front. This guy also said he would crawl across broken glass to vote for Joe Biden right during the election. And we were like, ooh.
Broken glass. Really?
That sounds
Go ahead, dude.
Yeah, hey, wait a minute. I got a window.
But he's our friend and we love him. I still love him to death, but he couldn't get past me saying that this election was fake along with all the others. He thought I was saying, stolen election. My God.
There's real life staring at you. I mean, we talk about polarization all the time, and it's like, dude, this isn't this, that the polarization is not on a media level. Like, this is in your face for real. Like, at least they're right about fucking something. If you just say anything against one person, they immediately put you in the camp of the other. I'm like, no, they're both pieces of shit. I think that the whole election process and the Electoral College is rigged. It's the same thing I've said before. If my kid comes downstairs and asks for breakfast and I say, well, do you want Cocoa Puffs or Fruity Pebbles? He thinks he has a choice, but really there's a whole world of bacon, 13 slaughtered goats, whatever the fuck you want. But if that's not on the agenda, then it's that illusion of choice, which is the lack of freedom in our country. It's an illusion of choice.
So what's funny about that is if you point that out to somebody that, like, I'm not this, it doesn't mean I'm automatically this other thing. If you point that out to them, they'll be like, oh, you're just a conspiracy theory. Like, it's a black or white thing. Like, no, I didn't vote for either of them. So me thinking the election was stolen doesn't make me a Trumper. And they're like, well, you're clearly, like, it melts their brain. They can't.
No,
you have to be, though. You gotta be Trump.
It's the first thing. Like, it's that first camp. If you outright say I'm a Trump supporter, okay, well, now they hate you. But if you say I don't like Joe Biden, oh, you fucking Trump supporter. No, I don't like either of them. You've already still put yourself in a camp. You can't win with these people,
no, because then you're a libertarian. And the left go,
well, if you didn't vote for Joe Biden, then you're a fascist. And it's like, okay, so if I do nothing, I'm a fascist. If I vote for Trump, I'm a fascist. The only route is to vote for who you think I should vote. That is fascism.
Yeah.
Exactly. How about everybody stops giving a shit about what everyone else is doing or who you vote for? There's a reason it's in secret, even though it doesn't fucking matter, in my opinion. Just do what you want to do. You can do this particular thing in secret, kind of like pooping, depending on your situation, I guess.
Day, there should my be mom a has drop never told down. Anybody what she's voted for in any election.
Oh, nice.
Every family member will pester honestly. Her and bug her, try to like turn her in an argument to say, and she's just, nope, she will not fucking tell you. It's her private business. It's very interesting. Never known anyone else to be like that.
Well, I don't think that candidates should be allowed to say what their party affiliation is. Instead of voting for the Democrat nominee or the Republican nominee, no. Why don't we just vote for Joe Biden or vote for Donald Trump? No party affiliation. Have a list of shit for policy changes.
On their debates. Yes. Like, that's all you have to go on is their debates and shit.
You have no party affiliation. They say, what is your criteria for running for president that you would like to do for the people? And they list out lower taxes, blah, 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 whatever the fucking case.
All the normal shit
That's
they say.
It.
They're not going to be like, I want to raise
for them on their merit.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's but
we also did used to live in a meritocracy, and all the way down to the general working level of a job, that doesn't apply anymore. It's all political. You got to suck some kind of fucking dick if you want to get anywhere, which is ridiculous.
So sorry, guys. Yeah, we have a tendency to like bounce off each other like a pinball for a while, and then the guests are just sitting there like, what the fuck?
Sorry, so, guys.
What do you think about all that? We'll let you guys fucking hammer it out for a bit. Giggity.
I think there should be a drop-down door inside of voting polls. So if you vote for the wrong person, the door falls down. There's a sawed-off double gauge. Problem solved. Just
yep.
No, you easy. Fall into a shark tank or a spike pit. Shark I think that would be more pit. Entertaining.
Yes.
Yeah, with like really thin spikes, so it takes a long time to die. Yeah.
And they should open it up when you're voting so that you can see. There should be like it should be glass so you can see the people kind of slowly dying below you, so you know you better make the right choice.
That sounds Life's very make it green of you, Jen.
I like that.
Well, no, that's the whole point of saying that's how voting should be in America. It should be hostile right. And awful.
If they had their way, that would be it. If voting mattered,
yeah,
politics and entertainment, yay.
Yeah, exactly.
Generally I feel the rules are all made up and the points don't matter. How do you feel about that?
I think that all the major institutions of the world are ultimately owned by a giant sadistic billionaire class that just has their own funny games, and everything that happens is just us scrambling to justify what these people do to us all over the world. And there isn't one guy that runs the world, but there's a group of people that ultimately do, and then it kind of trickles on down from there. The people that we talk about most, I think, are middle management types.
Yeah.
What do you think they're doing it for? What do you think the end goal is? Do you think it's like energy stealing or something like that?
Population control and whatever their ideals happen to be on what they think is the way to make the world a better place.
I'd love to know what their ideals are, just so I can dodge that shit. Damn.
Not the same as what we think, that's for sure.
Yeah, I get it. We have a whole different set of moral principles.
There's a big push to manifest something, it feels like. There's some sort of end goal, and...
Got a PPPRB.
Nice. if I was a betting man, it always felt like it was all in the game of trying to summon something. You know, I think that there's one singular point where the controlling elite wants to push everybody. And once we cross that threshold, there's a true, like, next level, it's a level up in some regards, and I have no idea what would be on the other side. I guess if I was going to get super romantic about it, it's some sort of omnipotent sort of global, all connected throughout people, it's sort of like a unnatural ties that bind, so it's something that mimics what we already have, but a really evil version of it. Yeah,
that sounds terrifying. Do you think there's a good counter product, like something that will come out like God that will save everybody from this, or do you think we're all just doomed?
And critical thought, just people talking and having open discussions, you know,
and that's
important.
I don't know if that will save us, though. Sorry, Lavish. I just can't. In this day and age, I just feel like we're doomed. If that is our saving grace, we're fucked.
No, yeah. How it works is you surround yourself by people that have similar values. It is something that anyone from across any political spectrum can apply. They can
see decentralization.
Yeah, find your tribe. Find the group of people that you want to make it with. That's what Lavish and I have been doing. 2020, the COVID pandemic, it sucked in a lot of ways because I got fired from my job. I was, you know, pushed out because I don't take the vaccinations. I worked in an entertainment industry. And a lot of those tours, you know, that's you're not going out if you don't get vaccinated. I was okay with that decision because I had found people like Lavish, like all the other people that hang out in our green room 7 days of the week, the extraneous people, you know, I don't agree with everyone across the board on everything. That defeats the purpose.
Yeah,
but
that would be, yeah.
That's normal, though. I think that's pretty fair.
That would actually be weird people.
Yeah, it would be strange. Too hive-mindy.
That would be a cult.
That's called a cult, yeah.
We have been called an antisocial social cult before.
Yeah, by ourselves.
But yeah,
fun though. Do you guys have spiked Kool-Aid or what?
What's that?
I said, do you guys have spiked Kool-Aid or what?
I wish.
Oh,
nice. Wednesday Kool-Aid just in case.
Yeah, drink mushroom tea, maybe.
There you go.
Yeah. Kool-Aid's too much sugar, you know. Kool-Aid. I want something more natural.
Yeah, it's Kool-Aid. Yeah, drink it every day.
Yeah, it's a weird world we live in, you know.
But
it'll be wrong.
As far as getting into, I guess, the back and forth with people about the integrity of the election or the COVID, like I'm not there to have those debates with them anymore. I'm there for the zingers. I dropped to my boss the other day. I was like, hey baby, how old are you? Biden, like, I don't give a fuck. Like, it's, you just have to mock it and move on. Like, I'm not, yeah. There's so much work to be done. You know, we could be buying chickens with Bitcoin, you know, to kind of bring it full circle. Like, and we podcast with people on the regular. Lavish just visited some in person, and these crazy bastards were buying, you know, chickens. They have chickens that they purchased or procured with Bitcoin. That's how you break out of this system. You decentralize, you spread out. You know, think about the goddamn Revolutionary War. You know, they were still employing tactics of old of having everybody line up in long formations on the battlefield, and you get cannonballs bouncing or 6 pounds of fucking iron just decimating numbers because they're sitting there bouncing through the fields, right? And then the Americans took a page out of the First Nations and the Natives and started hiding in the fucking woods. They spread out, and then we kicked their ass. That's what it means to decentralize. All of these fucking YouTube platforms, get rid of them. The way we set up to use YouTube for our show, it is to use and abuse them. All of the ad filters, all of the shit to download them, archive everything. Every video that we bring to the show, we got archived. So we have a fucking copy of it when it inevitably gets pulled off. You can go back through show notes to like Astroworld, and I had all of the videos posted up there. And deleted, and it's just gone.
Yep,
from the internet.
Right.
You know, we don't need to be involved with that system. I think for a lot of people, Google and YouTube and Facebook and Apple and all these other douchebags convinced everybody that they are the internet, and it's just not true.
It's the dialectic. It's the Cocoa Pebbles versus Fruity Pebbles. It's the, do you want this? You know, there's so much more out there, and the only way that you're going to find it is in small steps. 10 years ago, Bitcoin was a joke. I mean, a real honest to God joke. Like, butt coins. I didn't trust them when they first came out back when I was in high school or whatever, man. I thought it was garbage. I thought it was a scam. And in 10 years, it's turned into hundreds of billions of dollars of net worth, and things can happen so fast and so small. And I think one of the big things is just, one of the things is reading where the wind is going and being in the right place at the right time. And, and trying to do the right thing, I guess.
Boo brought up a really good point. You know, he said he was fine with, you know, losing his job when it came to making that decision. And we had a movement here in California that got national attention. One of the gentlemen who spoke at it, we have two hospitals, and he worked at the hospital, and there was another gentleman that worked at the other one, and they were the only two in their job codes. And long story short, he was the only one that could run the machine. And so if he got called in, he really couldn't say no, because if he did, the choppers would go on deferment, which meant that they would fly right over, and that could cost lives legitimately. And he said that he had all of these reasons why he should get the vaccine, because he was scared about being to blame for somebody losing their life because he wasn't allowed back at his job. But he said the other side of that is much more terrifying, because when is the line drawn? When do you draw that line of saying, if I get the vaccine, then I'm going to have to do this, and you justify it for, I'm saving lives. But then at some point you're not. At some point you're actually killing more people, because you're not drawing that line in the sand, and everybody has to do that. And if you don't do that, the ultimate outcome is that they do have that total control. And I think, you know, a lot of people talk about 2020 just being, if there was any doubt left in their mind, 2020 was the year that solidified a lot of things for a lot of people. And for a lot of people that were totally in the dark, it opened it wide the fuck up. Like, third eye right here, blinking at you, saying hi and talking to you, open. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think you guys are right on with that, because at some point you got to draw the line. There's, if you don't, how far does that line get pushed out?
And it's not even a line, or the line doesn't just stop at the vaccinations. It doesn't stop at the medications. It doesn't stop at the food that you're consuming. I'm seriously considering trying to get involved with the beef initiative and get meat straight from ranchers.
Good.
Well, and
farm to fork.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't stop at your entertainment. Like, it, this line is entrenched around us. It contains all facets of our lives, and you know, at some point, you just have to unplug from it. Is there a way that I can share a video?
Yeah. Down at the bottom, it should say share, and just hit it, and then I have to like manually put it up on screen for some reason.
Let me get it queued up. It's been forever and a day since I've seen this movie all the way through, but I always think about this particular scene because it is honestly the best solution. Share screen. Oh, there we go. Share screen. Easiest two monitors. Here. Get that.
There we go. Add it up in there. There we go.
And this guy. Y'all ever seen Merlin with Sam O'Neill?
No. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right. Yep.
I'm going to spoil the movie if you haven't seen it, but also it came out in the 90s, so I can't help you there. Here's the end of the movie.
Merlin? What are you doing?
You can't fight us or frighten us. You're just not important enough anymore. We forget you, Queen Mab. Go join your sister in the lake and be forgotten.
You get me. You get me. Take.
Trying to smile, but it was the smile of desolation. Inside, I felt only the pity and the terror and the waste of it all. Everyone I ever loved and whoever loved me, all gone down. And then Galahad returned and brought with him the Holy Grail.
That's good there. That's all we needed to see. It's the Queen Mab dissolution by literally turning your back on the witch.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I don't think I've seen that.
It's good. Merlin,
you're completely right too, because we gotta, like you said, we gotta unplug. Like, if you really think about it, that line, and Joe mentioned the, you know, slow boiling a frog earlier, it's like we're already halfway there. Like, they've slowly stepped this line out so far. They're, and her and I talk about it all the time, it's like there are days, more often, it's more often and more frequent now than ever, of like, throw away the phone, get rid of all the electronics, unplug all the socials, and just go back to what's in front of you.
Well, now there is options for, you know, even decentralized phone. You can rock a graphene iOS on, I think it's a Google Pixel phone. So essentially you just wipe what's on there and you install this de-Googled phone. the instructions are out there. I think No Agenda Phone might still be up. Noagendaphone.com. You can
Isn't order. That kind of similar to jailbreaking, only even more extreme? I've heard a little bit about that.
I don't know if I would consider it jailbreaking per se.
Like reverting to lower tech or something like that.
Jailbreaking your phone to make it do less.
Yeah. You're just utilizing the actual hardware in that case, right? Because you're completely wiping all of the software that makes it go and then right. reutilizing the hardware with your own code, right?
Yeah, it's essentially flashing the phone with a new install of an operating system on top of it. Oops, I didn't mean to do that.
Ah. Oh, sorry. That was me. Sorry.
I
thought you were trying to share something.
Yeah, my bad. Yeah, you just see all my fucking windows open. It's no different if I went and installed Linux on top of a Windows PC, I guess.
Right.
But that No Agenda Phone's there in the Rockfin chat if you want to check it out.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Awesome. I do have to get going.
I know. I was about to wrap up. I could see it on your face. I was like, it's Ben's time to go night-night.
Yep.
You're on the East Coast?
Thanks, you guys.
No.
No, we're on the West Coast. He just gets up early.
Nice. West Coast, best yeah. coast.
Hell yeah. Well, dude, before you go, though, let us know. Let Bye. Everybody know what you want, where they can find you and all the good stuff like that, your links, your socials, your Bitcoin password, all that stuff.
It's ZTHCYX35.
No. Down.
You can find us at www.behindtheschemes.com. With threes for ease and schemes.com or loveislit.com or badradio.live. We're live every Monday night at 7:30 West Coast, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. And we, like we said, we do it live. We have a chat room.
Mm-hmm.
And
we got a voicemail line 612-263-SXXY.
Oh, that's Ooh,
so radio.
So nice.
But yeah, everything that we produce,
that's great.
Everything that we produce, yeah, we encourage people to scream, you know, tell us about your day, whatever you got. We don't pre-screen. We just play them. We like
I can feel the frustration of trying to find that dial right now.
Caller, turn down your radio. Everything that we produce is value for value, meaning that we set everything up for free. We expect people to enjoy it for free, and if there's anything that they got of value from the show, turn around and help produce it, whether it be through financial donations, whether it be through artwork, whether it's clips, ISOs, music,
information, conversations.
Yeah.
Story. I love that. Pay it forward. You guys are great.
Anything and everything goes towards making it the show that you want to hear. And that's what's so incredible about all of these other shows that we're podcasting. It's all, you know, it's all open. It is all value for value, meaning
and no ads, no commercials, yeah, no bullshit reads, and no corporate influence as well, right, which is very important. Yeah.
Yes,
very nice. That's very cool.
Yeah, that's kind of what we do too. I stopped the Patreon, but if value for value, if anyone finds value, you want to look at all of our old videos, you can join our Rockfin and get everybody else's shit too. It's amazing. It's way more content than Netflix, and it's I mean, if you're listening to this, it's your kind of content. Serious, not all of it, but most of it.
Well, and if you're subscribing, if you're subscribing to Rockfin, it literally is supporting a free network of non-censorship, which is the entire point. It's not like you're promoting our show or buying our show. You're subscribing to the website, and the website exists for free thinkers and non-censorship. So it is something to kind of pay into that way. To both of you guys, I've never heard of you. I don't listen to podcasts. but I really liked your guys' entire attitude and your guys' take on, you know, what you guys did say. I think you guys are really good people that are doing good things. So keep it up.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You guys, it's been real. Appreciate you coming out and joining us tonight. And thanks everybody on your live stream, on our live stream, and all the audio listeners. Peace, love, and farts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.